Father, we ask, Lord, now in Jesus' name that you would prepare our hearts to receive of your word. Lord, I have to confess, this is not easy stuff here to look at and to listen to. And I wish that you were here teaching it. I'd love to sit down with this one. In fact, for the next few weeks, I'd like to just sit. Well, in fact, for the rest of my life, I'd like to just sit down and listen to you talk. I can't imagine what it must have been like to be on the shores of Galilee and listen to God in human flesh speak to mankind. Father, I pray that you would give us, Lord, sandals, as it were, for our shoes and robes, as it were, for our clothes. And Lord, that you would just put us in the spot, in the place. Lord, we're sorry that we're 2,000 years removed from this physical event that took place. But we know that the Holy Spirit both honors your word and is here among us. And we pray, Lord God, that we wouldn't miss a beat. Because you are the same Lord yesterday, today, and forever. So teach us now. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Grab your Bibles, if you would, this morning to the book of Luke. We go and we are in Luke chapter 6, verses 43 to 45. Luke chapter 6, 43 to 45. Not many verses. Believe me, it's all we can take. With what the Lord is going to be teaching us this morning, it is to the heart. Oh, I hope we have a tummy for this. I got to tell you, I can't wait to get through this message. I got one more at third service and then I'm done with it because I want to move on. I've been studying for this and it's been eating me up. And this is like one of those things where you get up in the morning and you look into the mirror. Now, the good thing about me is my eyesight is fading so fast that when I get up in the morning and look in the mirror, I look just fine because I can't see a thing. And that's okay because you know what? My teeth are starting to get really sensitive too. My dentist tells me I grind my teeth at night, so they're going to try to do something about that. And it makes it very hard to eat things. It hurts to eat. But see, I've been putting on weight, so now I have to eat less because my teeth hurt. So maybe I'll lose weight now. So that's a good thing. See, as you get older, it gets great. You can't eat as much because your teeth hurt. And you look better because your eyes are fading. And so as we look at this and as we consider the things that Jesus is speaking to us, you got to look at it just head on. And it may generate some feelings. But you and I need to be very careful that we don't walk out on what the Holy Spirit's saying to us. What I'm going to tell you is a teaching here that Jesus gave to the disciples that were in front of him. But most scholars believe that just beyond them was the general populace of people that were gathered around. And off to the side somewhere, pictured in your mind, is the contingent of the Pharisees, the lawyers, the scribes, those that were there representing Judaism for Israel. They're all dressed up and got their robes on and watching every step Jesus makes. They can't stand him by now. He had been healing on the Sabbath. That got them all upset because he was working on the Sabbath. Look, when your God ain't nothing to heal on the Sabbath. And listen, they took the word of God and reinterpreted to the people and made it something grievous when Jesus then began to teach them concerning the law of the Sabbath, the reality of it. They didn't like that either. There's a man that was crippled and Jesus heals him. They didn't like that either. Those religious representatives would have been the last people on the earth that you would have wanted to hang around. And they were jealous about that too. Because everybody was making their way to Jesus. And it's a wonderful thing to realize. Do you realize that if Jesus was teaching this morning and you and I were there, there'd be another 2,000 plus people gathered around him still, among others. Because we want to hear what he has to say. But listen, church, when he speaks, it's not always rosy. When he speaks, it's not always something that just puts a smile on your face. This morning, he's going to speak and it's going to cause us to look inside, to search and to see what we're really made of. The title of the message this morning is Trees, Treasures, and Talk. That's what he's going to speak to us about and how much it relates to our very soul. And by the way, before we get into point number one, keep this in mind. While Jesus is teaching, he's in the Galilee region. And very quickly, God expects produce. He expects fruit. He expects fruit from your life, from my life, and from, for that matter, plants and trees themselves. In the Galilee, 700 plus feet below sea level, it's summer just about all year round. Did you know that? And for those of us who have been, we're always amazed at the orange trees, lemon trees, fig trees, the various nuts. And I'm not talking about the Californians on our bus. I'm talking about the nuts that are growing. Tomatoes, apples. The King David apples from Israel. Apples, mangoes, papayas, bananas. In fact, I've seen more bananas in Israel growing than I've ever seen anywhere else on the planet. Israel. The Lord tells us, by the way, we shouldn't be surprised about that. The Lord says in Isaiah 27:6 that the days will come when Jacob will take root and Israel will bud and blossom and fill the whole world with its fruit. And God is doing that with Israel. It produces. Here Jesus is teaching wonderful, lush area, but he's going to be talking about treasures of heart, fruit being produced out of your life. And that being true, that being the real reality of who and what you are, it's going to be something that is able to be taken into the laboratory and looked at and discerned. I mean, you could really touch and really feel the evidence of a real Christian. That's what Jesus is talking about. As fruitful and productive as an apple tree is, which produces apples, Jesus is going to say a Christian is going to produce Christian things. And if you remember in our previous studies, he had been warning us to not judge other people with a condescending attitude of being critical. In fact, remember, Jesus said that how dare you look at somebody and begin to scold them about the little speck that's in their eye when you've got a beam hanging out of your own eye. Jesus said, how dare you do that? We are not to look at somebody and issue a condemning verdict about their lives. We are not to judge in condemning someone. Now he's going to turn right around and it's going to look like he's saying something contradictory, but he's not at all. You and I have no authority to condemn someone, nor should we ever imagine that. Who are we? And yet it's in the human heart to turn and attack people and to pull them down. It's evil. It's in every human heart to put somebody down or to attack them with some critical observation. And yet what we're supposed to do as believers, as real true Christians, we are to look at one another's lives. I want to stress one another. You're to look at me. I'm to look at you. And by watching one another's life, we are to make a discerning observation by inspection whether a person is a Christian or bears evidence of a Christian life or not. It's not the same thing. Are you with me, everyone? This is very critical. We are to not walk up to somebody and say, you're going to hell. You this. You're going to fry. Oh, man, are you going to burn? Oh, boy, you better get, you know, asbestos underwear because you're going down, man. You can't do that. And yet the Christian church has got a black eye because people do that. What we are supposed to do is that when we see one another's lives in the positive, we are to conclude, man, that's a Christian. I want to be around them. That's a Christian. I can trust them. Or that person says they're a Christian. I'm having a hard time finding the evidence that backs that up. That's not a condemning observation. You know what? You've often heard it said that we as Christians are to be fruit inspectors. That's a good way of looking at it. And we're going to be looking at that this morning under study. Luke chapter 6, beginning at verse 43, Jesus says, for a good tree does not bear bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. For every tree is known by its own fruit. For men do not gather figs from thorns, and they do not gather grapes from a bramble bush or a tumbleweed. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. Just a few verses, very powerful. What do we learn from this in our study? Look at this. Number one, jot it down if you would. Trees, treasures, and talk. Verses 43 to 44. What am I producing for others? Jot that down. What kind of fruit comes out of me is what Jesus wants me to ask myself in the sermon he's giving. A little bit of background as to this sermon. Scholars and commentaries will tell you that we are looking at right now what is referred to as the Great Sermon. There's the Sermon on the Mount you all know about. There's the Olivet Discourse. You all know about that. This is known as the Great Sermon. And this is one of the reasons why. He's inviting us, look, what am I producing for others is the question every Christian must stop today and ask themselves. Under that, what kind of fruit comes out of me? You say, Jack, I don't like the question. You and I don't like the question. I've been struggling with this question for days. I don't like it. You know why? It's because I got to look at it. This is reality. This cuts right to the chase of whatever we're proclaiming. So what kind of fruit is coming out of my life? Jesus is speaking this to the disciples, and they had to listen to this. You say, Jack, if he kept that up, how's he ever going to get people to follow him? He didn't care about that. Jesus cared about the truth. And I want to ask you this morning, do you really care about the truth? Do I really care about the truth? Then what Jesus says, which is truth, I need to listen to and apply. So the first thing I realize in verse 43 is that when it says every good tree does not bear bad fruit or cannot bear bad fruit, but nor does a bad tree bear good fruit, I realize something right now. Jesus is stating in light of the Pharisees, who were all dressed up religiously but had no fruit of a relationship with God, that he's talking about hypocrisy and the dangers of it. Nobody appreciates hypocrisy. Jesus is saying a real Christian produces fruit and it's good. Somebody may pretend or say that they're a Christian and they produce stuff that's bad. What is produced in the end of the day, listen, confirms what they're saying. This is very important. Because if I'm going to be producing something in my life, in other words, what's coming out of my life, is it something that bears witness of the fact that I know God? Here's the amazing thing. It's sad right now that I'm up here elevated in front of you. That's only because I can see and the people in the back can see me. Imagine for a moment, as it truly is, we are all in the same playing field. I'm not above you. You're not above me. We are children of God. We've put our trust in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And how are we to exist with each other? No one is supposed to walk around here granting one another some sort of a great respect of just lifting somebody up for specialty's sake. It's not right. We are sinners saved by the grace of God. We are on our way to heaven. Yes, all of us have been called to various manifestations of the gifts of the Holy Spirit regarding the body of Christ, the church. I'm a pastor teacher. You may be an evangelist. Someone over here has got the gift of exhortation. Someone over here has the gift of giving or faith or mercy or whatever's listed there in the scriptures. But we are all one in Christ. Now, having said that, it matters how you and I live with each other. What kind of producing is flowing forth out of my life? What kind of fruit comes out of my life? If I can't find any, then I'm a pretender. I'm not for real. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7, Paul the Apostle told the church at Galatia, he said, don't be deceived. The word actually means in the Greek, stop it. It's a strong word. It's like what a parent would say to a kid that's doing something wrong. In the English, it's do not be deceived. It sounds like an option. In the Greek, it is emphatic. Stop. Stop what? Stop deceiving yourselves. That's what he says. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. For he who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Strong words. Whatever you plug into physically, you're going to reap of that physically. If I go over here and lick the wall socket right there, I'm going to reap of the fruit of that. And I'm not going to like it. Whatever I'm putting into my life is going to come out. When we talk about fruit, when we talk about sowing, when we talk about reaping, this is a natural law. And what I'm living for, are you living for Jesus? Then you can bank on a fruitful happy and a successful life in God. God will bless you. Are you living for yourself? It's going to be rough. But notice the qualifier in logic of what Jesus is saying. He is saying that if a tree is good, it's going to be bearing good fruit. If a tree is bad, it's going to be bearing bad fruit. What the tree really is what's hanging on its branches. So the fruit confirms what the tree is. Watch this. If I had right here, and if I would have been thinking, I would have gotten a prop. I could have had a palm tree here with a sign on it, like from Home Depot, that it's an apple tree. You would pay no attention to what the label is. Are you with me, everyone? You know what a palm tree looks like. You live in the land of palm trees, and you know what a palm tree looks like. But the sign says on it, apple tree. Do you think anybody would come up and say, what a strange looking apple tree? Oh, you would laugh at them. You'd say, what are you, crazy? It's a palm tree. Somebody put what? The wrong label on the tree. And that's exactly true. A person can say they're Christians. Jesus was saying, you guys are following me? You're my disciples? Well, let's get this one thing straight right now. A bad tree produces bad fruit. A good tree produces good fruit. You can't be a bad tree and wind up with good fruit. And you can't be a good tree and wind up with bad fruit in the end. You will produce that which your roots are sunk into, and the fruit will confirm your proclamation. This palm tree will never be an apple tree, no matter how big and bright the label stating apple is displayed. You can say all day long, I'm a Christian. I don't care what you say, I'm a Christian. The only way that can be true is if the fruit that's hanging on the end of your branches at the end of the day back it up. You see, nobody wants to hear this. I would have just gladly skipped right on over to Luke chapter 7. This is serious stuff. You understand? This is what's wrong with the church today in the world. You can be all kinds of things. You know, I just saw, by the way, on the news, just now before service, the two Fox News reporters were released by that Al-Qaeda terrorist group. Praise the Lord for that. They asked, how did they get released? Now, you and I would have a hard time with his answer. I would have a hard time with his answer. They said all we had to do was say on camera that we've received Islam as our religion, and they put down the guns and they let us go. I just saw that in the news 30 minutes ago. Peter did that. When they said, don't you know Jesus? Peter said, I don't even know the man. Peter denied Christ. Now, these men are perhaps, I don't know the story, perhaps they're not believers in Jesus. Let's just start with that. Done under duress. I understand all that. But something's wrong. I'm sitting there listening to their proclamation. We are now Muslims. And you got this feeling that these two really European-looking American dudes don't mean what they're saying. The label is on them. It'd be printed up in tomorrow's news. Something doesn't connect. The sign can say whatever it says, but what's on the inside? God knows that. Well, not only that, listen to this. Jot this down. Verse 44, we learn this. What am I producing for others? What fruit is coming out of me is me. Doesn't that sound funny? I know that grammatically kind of weird, but the fruit that's coming out of me, guess what? It is me. If I'm standing here right now, and at the end of the day, an orange is right here. I can't deny it's an orange. It is an orange. You can come up and smell it. It smells like an orange. And you can bite it. You can even make orange juice out of it. Guess what? It is an orange. I could tell you, but I'm an apple. I want to be an apple tree. Really bad. If I'm producing oranges at the end of the day, guess what I am? I'm an orange tree. That's the way it is. But as a Christian, if the Spirit of God is working in my life, at the end of the day, there's going to be things that speak about Jesus at the end of my life, at the end of my day. And it's true about your life. It's true about my life. What I say doesn't matter. What comes out at the end of the day, that's the reality. I can say anything I want, but does the evidence back it up? What is coming out of my life by way of fruit? It is me. Verse 44 says, every tree is known by its own fruit. It's almost like that tree's got eyeballs. And it looks right there and says, well, there's an avocado. I guess I'm an avocado tree. Yes, that's right. And that's the reality. That's the truth of it. Jesus is saying, you're not fooling God, and you're not even fooling yourself. The truth is known. We can say all that we want. You know what? I got two really weird things to tell you. Number one, this is not so weird. When you talk about pretending and hypocrisy and what statement is made, but what does the evidence back up? You know how my mind, those of you who have been coming here for a while, my mind is this cartoon image mind. I see everything in cartoons. It's scary. When I'm talking to you, I see a cartoon and I'm... When I read this, I see, you know that Foster Farms commercial? You see those two chickens that are wanting to be Foster Farm chickens? You see like they're smoking and drinking and eating Twinkies and they got donut wrappers on the console of the car. They're trying to find the Foster Farm so they can weasel in and be a Foster Farm chicken. Because I guess those are the best chickens, is the Foster Farm chicken. So these skinny old bony looking, feathery, funky looking chickens, they're trying to be Foster Farm chickens. And they're drinking Pepsi and eating Twinkies. It doesn't work. And when the Foster Farm truck drives by, they try to act like a Foster Farm chicken. But they're not a Foster Farm chicken. What they say, what they want to be, and what they really are is two different things. In light of that, I got to tell you what happened Thursday night going down the toll road. Lisa and I were with another couple heading down to the beach. And you know where the toll road, you ever take the toll road, you guys? You know the toll road where it's out in the country? I mean, there's nothing out there but mountains, deer, and mountain lions, and it's out there. It's crazy. It's nothing. We're driving, and we look, and on the opposite side of the freeway, there's somebody heading up the side of the hill. My first thought when I blinked, I looked, the first thought into my mind was, we don't have ostriches in California. There's a lady walking up the side of the hill going who knows where. Okay? She had black panties on with a white swimming cap on her head with feathers. She had feathers on. And what? And I'm thinking, I'm having a heart attack. This is insane. And everybody in the car saw her too. And it's like, what? What is this? Whatever she... And we called 911. Yeah. There's a lady with black panties on with a shower cap on her head walking up the side of the hill with feathers on. And the 911 officer said, excuse me, what was that last thing you said? I said feathers. She's wearing feathers. And she just starts busting up laughing. She goes, what is your name? No matter how far she got into the woods, no matter what she put on, she's not a turkey or whatever she's trying to be. She's no Foster Farm chicken. What a story she has to tell, huh? Maybe from reaping and sowing some interesting things. I don't know. But what's coming out of my life? It speaks about who I really am, and there's no getting away from it. Are you a blessing to people? Do other people love to see you coming? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Do people shut their shades and lock their door when you pull up? Wherever you go, are you the bummer? Are you the bad-mouthed one? Are you the ill-temper? Are you the angry one? Are you the one that is going to church on Sunday, but you're anything but for the rest of the week? Then you're not real. You may be all dressed up, but what is coming out of you is completely different. It's very serious. Thirdly, what I'm producing for others is something that's coming out of my life that produces life. Does it produce life? Is it something that will reproduce in life? Should I be like you? Should you be like me? Together, should we have the evidence that we are Christians following Christ? See, the beautiful thing, no matter how big this church ever gets, if we keep our eyes on Jesus, we will be flowing and growing together. And there's no way around it. It's just the natural result of the supernatural work of God. And so, is what's going on in my life and in your life something that's reproducible in life? Do we even want it reproduced? Note this. Jesus said, "For men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they gather grapes from a bramble bush." That's a very, very strong statement. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 10, Paul says that we, as believers, may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. That's the life of the Christian. Can you and I say that in the next 6 months, church, listen, are you listening? In the next 6 months, will you and I be able to say from today, we have grown more in our knowledge of God? And we now, listen, yes, we'll be able to say it, I trust and pray, but in absolute unison with that statement is the proof, the fruit, that my life has borne fruit these next 6 months. Here's the challenge. God is desiring for your life and mine, for us in the next 6 months to produce the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. We don't have to do that other than be in the Word of God and sow to the things of the Spirit. God will do the rest. Listen, it's the fruit of the Spirit, not the work of the Spirit. You got that? God produces it. It's like those orange trees that are outside the windows of this church. Those orange trees are in the ground. They're not groaning, they're not moaning, they're not complaining. They're an orange tree, and in time, they're going to have those wonderful blossoms that smell so good that tell us what? Oranges should be on the way. Right? Man, I grew up in Orange County. We used to ride our bikes down through orange groves. That was such a strong, beautiful aroma of those orange trees. What did it promise? Fruit's on the way. We're just like that. It's the same way. Point number two in our study, trees and treasures and talk. Now we talk about treasures. Treasures. And the question comes in verse 45, what am I giving toward others? What am I giving toward others? Verse 45 says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good. An evil man out of the evil treasures of his heart brings forth evil. Number one, jot this down. What are those good things that you can have from my life? There should be good things. The word here for treasure in the Greek is a great word. It means things deposited. I like that. See, it's funny. You don't make a deposit of anything that's junky. You throw it away. You only deposit things that are important to you. There's a safe deposit box. What do you put in it? Your laundry? No. Things that are precious to you. You go to the bank. What do you deposit in the bank? You make a deposit of something that's valuable. You put something that is important in a box. By the way, the value of what's important in the box makes it a treasure chest. You can take Pirates of the Caribbean ride at Disneyland. You can go all the way through that ride and come around where all that treasure is. Remember when you were little kids, that mountain of gold? When you were little, you thought, oh my goodness, if I could just... It's plastic. But there's that huge treasure chest. If you open it up, what's inside? Nothing. See, God would open up, as it were, your life and mine right now. Imagine for a moment if God freezed the sanctuary, and we were all suspended for a moment, and the glory of God began to shine about, and our hearts, whatever is the treasure of our lives, is set in front of us. It's just right there for everyone to see, including God. Listen, God sees those treasures right now. But listen, the treasure in my heart and in your heart, when I live my life, and you live your life together in and among us, in a community, in a church, together. Listen, inevitably, in time, what's in comes out. You might say, well, that's why I don't get involved. I don't want anybody to know what's in. It's going to come out anyway. It's a law of God. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. It's going to happen. So here's the great thing. See, you know, you and I are not destined to destruction on this. We just need, if we're sowing to the wrong stuff, we need to back up right now and change to what we're sowing to. Start investing in the things that are godly. Last service, first service, there was a brother that came up to me and he said, and he's been coming here for a long time, "I want to tell you something scary happened to me." "What happened?" He was, "I was goofing around with a lottery ticket." "Oh, yeah? And I won $3 million. And I said, "Man, I'm going to pray for you. You're in deep trouble." That's exactly what I said. I said, "You're in deep trouble." "What?" I said, "Now you're responsible to God for $3 million. I would not want that job." You say, "Well, oh man, I would do this and I would do that." That's the problem. It's God's money. Everything is God's. It's His. What are you going to do with it? You can either make it a treasure for righteousness, or you can make it a treasure that's absolutely destructive. What are you going to do? You say, "Boy, yeah, that's right, Pastor. You tell that guy. Yeah, you let him have it. That's some good. Yeah, that's good. You tell him that." Wait a minute. It's true about me and it's true about you. What? "I don't have $3 million. "No, but you have hands and feet and a mouth and a body and life and a dollar. It's all the Lord's. Is it being used for His glory? That makes it a treasure." In fact, the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 4:7, "But we have this treasure, that is the gospel, in earthen vessels, that the excellency may and the power may be of God and not of us." That's beautiful. Also, verse 45, we learn this. Is what's in my treasure chest, is it something that should be avoided then? Wow. He says in verse 45, Jesus is speaking. Notice how politically correct He is. I'm joking. "And an evil man out of the evil treasures of his heart brings forth evil." He just says it. Can you imagine today if somebody said, "Yes, I believe the evil that's done in this world is done by evil men because their hearts are evil." That person would be sued by the ACLU in a flash. Think about that. Jesus says it like it is. Evil comes from evil hearts, from evil people. Strong statement, absolutely factual. God Himself is saying it. What do we do with it? How do we reckon this? Understand this. That when we look at things that would bring about evil, if we sow to those things, invest in those things, take in those things. And listen, it doesn't even have to be necessarily, quote, evil. It could be something that is absolutely worthless. Like trying to bite into cotton candy for nutritional value. There ain't nothing there. "Oh, did you read your Bible?" "No, I didn't read my Bible, but I've read these magazines today." "Well, okay. Did you pray to the Lord at all? Did you ask God's direction for your life today?" "Well, I thank them for my breakfast." You're going to get in trouble this way. It doesn't have to be grossly evil. It can be just neglectful. Jesus is warning, whatever is being deposited in our hearts, it's going to come out. And no one judges, by the way, the treasure chest or the leaves about what kind of fruit or treasures inside the box are hanging on the tree. It's important that we understand that. As a Christian, I want to encourage all of you this morning. In John chapter 15, verse 1, Jesus said, "I am the vine and my Father is the vine dresser." He goes on to say in verse 5, John 15, 5, "I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing." Isn't that encouraging? I'm blessed by that. Man, all I need to do to produce fruit is hang out with Jesus. John 15, 7. Listen to this. Everyone's going to want to write this verse down after I say it. So listen to it. "If you abide in me," Jesus said, "and my word abides in you, you may ask what you desire and it shall be done unto you." So what? Wait, what was that verse? He said, if you abide in me, that is, if you live your life in me and my word is living in you, you can ask whatever you will. And it's going to happen. You say, "Man, I want a Ferrari." That's not how it works. He said, if you abide in Him and His Word abides in you, if His Word is in you, you're not going to be caring if you have a Ferrari or not. Okay, it doesn't matter. You won't be asking stupid things like that. Oh, man. It doesn't matter. If His Word is in you and you're in Him, you're going to say things like this. Lord, whatever you want to do, you do it. And that's the most exciting. I tell you, when you pray that prayer, you need to put on a parachute and a helmet. Because, baby, it's going to get exciting. It's going to be great. It's going to be fantastic. Third point this morning, trees and treasures and talk. What am I saying about others? Verse 45. What am I saying about others? For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. Wow, if I'm a good tree, good stuff's going to come out. If I'm a bad tree, bad stuff's going to come out. If I'm a treasure chest and I've got nothing in it, nothing comes out. If I'm a treasure chest with something in it, that's good. Good's going to come out. It's pretty simple, pretty clear. But out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. That's pretty terrifying. What's in your heart? We know what's in your heart. What's in my heart? You know what's in my heart. It comes out. Now, let's be honest. Hit the road. I mean, don't go anywhere. I'm just saying, rubber hitting the road. Here it is. Don't you respect people, Christian brothers and sisters, who are real, rather than those who are somebody in front of you and then they're different away from you? I got to tell you right now, I have been, Lisa and I both have been tricked by people who are something in front of us and different. And we find out later from the populace, from the neighborhood. This person, I don't know them like that. Oh, this person, this. We were tricked. I would rather be with you and you with me, and we're the same people, in and out of church, in and out of the pulpit. That's Christianity. Real. And that doesn't mean that it's a justification for carnality. I'm talking about reality. I'm talking about you and I striving, disciplining in our lives, following after God, serving one another, serving the community, serving the world, going for it for God. And look, just along the way, when you and I are witnessing, you and I could be, in fact, in a couple of weeks, a bunch of us are going to be preaching Jesus on the streets of Russia. And you know what? We're going to be jet-lagged, we're going to be tired, we're going to be thirsty, it's going to be hot. And what is real Christianity? Like this? Watch. Is this it? 24/7? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. What's that? You just slapped me or cussed me out or threw rocks at me? That's not real. Reality is you duck and you say, let's get out of here. But people are afraid to be, as a Christian, real among one another because, unfortunately, in the body of Christ, there is such little grace extended one toward another to allow each other to grow in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus. And it's false. Again, don't take me wrong. I'm not saying, well, you know, none of us are perfect, so let's just forget about it. Not at all. What I'm saying is reality as a believer is this. That like Peter, when he denied Jesus, it's recorded in the Bible, he repented with weeping. When you see and when you're laboring with a brother or sister for the cause of Christ, that's where, like David's mighty men of valor are born. When we're living together, sharing together, serving together, imagine for a moment this whole area, for whatever reasons, knocked down, earthquake, terrorism, I don't know, but imagine that we'd have to live together. We have no homes, we have nothing, we have to be together. Imagine. You're going to find out the depth and the level of each other's Christianity really fast. Can I have some water? That's my water! You're gonna have to get along and work it out. What do I say? What am I saying about others tells about me. You say, what? Yeah, this way, very quickly, we'll be done. What I'm saying about other people, what's coming out of my mouth, out of the abundance of my heart, it speaks about who I am. You want to know me? How do I talk about others? You want to know me? How do I talk about this church or you? Does somebody want to know you? Well, how do you talk about others? That's who you are. Do you say you're loving, but in reality, your mouth is destroying people? Then don't say you're loving, because you're not. Think about it. The best way for me to find out who I really am is to ask myself, what am I saying about you? And look, I hate to shock you, but this translates even over into relatives. Christianity is even powerful when it comes to relatives. What you think about Uncle John or, you know, Aunt Susie and what you say, hey, you're a Christian, Jesus is there too. It's out of the heart the mouth speaks. Isn't that kind of terrifying? No wonder why in the Psalms, the psalmist cries out and says, God, put a gate on my mouth. Better than that, Lord, change my heart. And that's what he does. It speaks about me out of the abundance of my heart. Then thirdly, finally, we'll be done with this. What am I saying about others? What am I saying about others tells about the Lord. Meaning this, about the Lord in my life. Is God really big in my life? Listen, do I have what the Bible says is the fear of the Lord in my life? A lot of people who don't read their Bibles much get really upset about that term, the fear of the Lord. I don't think God wants us to be scared of Him. He doesn't want us to be scared of Him. That's why He didn't use the word scare. He used the word fear. The word fear means to be in reverential awe, to have a healthy respect for God. Okay? He's your God. He's not your buddy. And I know Tommy Lasorda said He's the big dodger in the sky. He is not the big dodger in the sky. Yankee, something, anything but a Dodger. So, now listen, focus. It is absolutely essential that we have a healthy view of God. When the Scripture says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's that fear of the Lord, a healthy respect, that causes me to tiptoe around this life a little more carefully. That when I see the guy at the end of the ramp of the freeway with, I'm homeless, I want food. I know what you're thinking right now. But maybe, just maybe, who knows, but maybe God literally knew that that guy would be standing there the moment I, the Christian, would come down the ramp. Yeah, but the guy's a bum. You don't know that. I don't know that. Only God knows. But this we know. You and I are there at the stop sign, and he's right there with his little sign. Do we at least pray for him? At the very least, we could pray for him. We could roll down the window and say, I'll pray for you. If you have something, give it to him. If you don't have anything, just say, I'll pray for you. But how do you know that's not a divine appointment? We don't know who that guy is. Yeah, but I saw in 2020, those guys making $100,000 a year scamming people. You don't know that for him. True story, a friend of mine this week, a pastor of another church, was out with his family on his day off, and there was a guy bumming around. And he noticed that his two young boys were being distracted by this bum guy. And so he says to himself, I'm going to go give this guy some money just to get him out of here. So he walks over and he confesses, I had the worst attitude you could possibly imagine. And I'm a pastor of a church. I walked over there, and he goes, I didn't even say a word to the guy. I just opened up my wallet, and I gave him 5 ones. There. And he went to turn around, and the guy goes, excuse me. And he goes, what? He goes, I want to thank you for giving me something. You're the first person that's given me anything. He said, I'm a Christian. You say, yeah, a lot of people said it. Just wait. I'm a Christian. My wife wound up somehow stealing my home, everything I own, out from underneath my feet with her boyfriend. I've been evicted from my own home. I'm 4 days on the street. I don't know what to do. I'm totally scared and terrified. I know the Lord's going to take care of me. And I want to thank you for hearing the Lord speak to you to give me something. Because I know that God's got a future for my life. It wasn't just my wife in my house. She left me for her boyfriend. I have nothing, but the Lord's got a plan for my life. Exactly. That he said, Jack, I broke down and I started crying so hard. I walked back to the guy. He said he was holding me. I was holding him. And I begged for his forgiveness. Wow. All right, here we go. We end with this. The whole context of the teaching is Jesus making it very clear to us, the believers, don't go around condemning people. Evaluate them. Of course, I want you to do that. Listen to what they're saying in line of what they're living, and you'll be able to conclude, regardless of what they're saying, if they truly know me or not. The evidence is overwhelming. Just be quiet and watch. Now, if you're going to go to a brother, for example, that you and I know, you know a brother or a sister who's not living for Jesus, they're messing up, they're hurting themselves, they're in disobedience to the Lord, what do we do about that? Do we judge them? Oh, man! Oh! No. Do we leave them alone and let them continue like that? No. We go to them. And when we do this, by the way, Christians who still want to keep sinning, you know what they say? You're judging me, man. No, I see that you're doing this, you know, and it's not good. The Bible says right here, you know, don't do that. You're going to get hurt. It's going to kill you. Man, back off. You're judging me. Gee, where's the grace, man? Okay, that person's crazy. Didn't know what they still want to keep doing their thing. Just let them go do it until the, as it was with the children of Israel, the quail. Remember they wanted meat? Give us meat, God! We want meat! We want meat! We're sick of this manna bread! We want meat! God says, all right, all quail, calling all quail. Fly at about the strike zone. Right across their chest and let them eat quail. And the Bible says that they had quail coming out of their nose. Could you imagine having a quail come out of your nose? You sneeze, feathers are going everywhere. Anyway, see, I told you I think like that! Anyway, what do? When we see a brother that's hurting and messing up, jot it down. We'll be done. We're going to come screeching across the finish line right now. Number one, be humble about it, will you? You're going to go correct the brother that's messed up? Be humble. Be humble. Number two, do it prayerfully. Be praying before you go talk to your dear brother or sister. Number three, be biblical. Biblical. Four, be loving. Five, be merciful. Six, be an example of Jesus to them. Next, privately. Be private about it, will you? Be private. Don't pray about them in a prayer meeting. Dear God, you know our brother Mike, who is, got caught robbing the store. I don't know if it's true or not, but, you know, people are saying it is true. And you know, I know he goes to this second service here at church, sits right about there. Dear God, you know what? That's gossip, and I can't. There's a lightning bolt that's going to hit you, I would think. Don't do that. That's privately, quietly, go speak to them. And then finally, graciously, considering yourself. Don't come riding in on your white pony. Hey, I'm here, man. Yeah, I'm going to point out some evil in your life. You'll thank me later. No, don't do that. Come up to them graciously, because you know what? Whatever's going on in their life, if you don't watch it, it could happen in your life. Have we forgotten that? If we let down the guard, oh, but a little, we're right back to where Jesus delivered us out of. Have you noticed that? Boy, do we need each other. Strong words of Jesus. To encourage you to come back next week, Jesus is going to say, why do you call me Lord and don't do the things I ask you to do? Huh? So you can find a parking space next week anywhere you want to. Father, we thank you for your word, your truth. It's like going to the doctor sometimes. Father, we ask you, Lord, in Jesus' name, that you would take out of our lives the things that are offensive. The stuff that we say, well, it's because I'm Irish. That kind of stuff. The stuff that we say, well, you know, excuse my French. That kind of stuff. The stuff that we justify, let us see it for what it is. It's offensive to you, God. Put you on the cross. Lord, we ask you to change our hearts and make us new. We know that you started that. We pray that you'd renew that work in our lives. Father, that we might live a life giving glory and honor to you. Lord, thank you so much that your Bible tells us that once you've started a work, you will complete it in the day of Christ. That's awesome. We're encouraged by that. So, Father, make us treasure chests full of wonderful things. Lord, cause us to be good trees producing good fruit. And Lord, cause us to walk in the constant moment-by-moment reality that, Lord, what comes out of our heart comes out of our mouth, and it bears witness to who and what we really are. If we don't like that today, then, Lord, I ask you to forgive us and to change us by the power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Let's stand, if you would, as we close in this song, and we'll see you Wednesday night.